one day.
Good morning, listeners and members of the Church of the Nazarene family. Welcome to the Because He Lives program. My name is Reverend Jacynthia Haynes, and it is with great pleasure that I've come to you this morning to share with you a woman's life-changing encounter with Jesus. But before I begin, I want to thank Federal Motor Spares Limited for their continued support of this program. I pray that God would continue to richly bless them as they sow into God's kingdom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. A woman's life-changing encounter. I'm sure that many of you can recall some life-changing encounter you would have had in your life. How did your experience affect your life? Was it a negative or a positive? Our perspective and attitude in these situations can chart the course for our future. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the call according to his purpose." As humans, we don't like to go through the process. And I purposely put process in capital letters because this word is a word that we don't like. We want things done now. So we would say to God, fix our situations now, because we want to incur less pain, less disappointment, less stress, less frustration. Can learning to live by Romans 8:28 change your perspective? Psalms 139:13 to 18 says, "For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grain of sand." The psalmist David tried his best to put into words how important we are to God, his view of how God sees us. These five verses I just read in Psalms 139 shows us the depth of God's love for us. He created us. He took time to form us in our mother's womb. You are faithfully and wonderfully made. And he says, you are wonderful. You are his creation. You were not hidden from him. Nothing was done in secret. He knows the lifespan of all of our lives. What would your story say? God's works are wonderful. You are precious to God. He took the time to create you. You're not a mistake. Sometimes parents would say hurtful things to children. I don't know why I ever had you. I should have aborted you. You're a waste of time. I should have gone and made sweetbread before having you. When we compare these statements parents sometimes make and the amazing way how David described how God sees us, the words of David is healing to our souls. You are purposed. You are not a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. If he created you before you were born, he cared for you. Would he not more care for you now that you are older? I wanted to create in your mind or plant a seed in your mind of how significantly important you are to God. Your perspective, how you think, how you view yourself, how God sees you, because you are significantly important to God. Do you think that he has forgotten you? Do you think that he has abandoned you? Do you think that he has neglected you? Do you think that he has overlooked you? Do you think that he doesn't hear you? Do you think that he doesn't love you? A woman's life-changing encounter with Jesus. I want to take you to a story of a woman's life-changing encounter. If I were to ask you about your life-changing encounter, how would your story read? What would be the outcome? Put yourself in the woman's shoes as we live her life through her experience. Let's go to Mark 5, 25 to 34. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, and I want you to remember this specific statement, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? And that's so ironic. How could you be in a crowd and then still ask, who touched me? You see, the people crowded against him. His disciple answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. I'm sure that when she heard those words, she wanted to leap with joy. When Jesus encountered this woman, he was on his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter who was dying. The woman with the issue of blood was not Jesus' intended stop. Jairus sought out Jesus and told him what he wanted. He said, my daughter is dying. Please come and put your hand on her so that she will be healed and live. This is in verse 23. And here you see even him exercising a great amount of faith in God. In contrast, the woman with the issue of blood, she concluded, I don't want to draw attention to myself. I don't want to disturb Jesus. She was so accustomed to being invisible for so many years, she believed that all she needed to do was to touch the hem of his garments and she would be healed. This woman exercised what I will call desperate faith. There was nothing else that she could do. There was nowhere else that she could turn. She was tired of trying everything, every avenue, every suggestion. She was tired of being an outcast. How desperate are you for your healing? How desperate are you for your breakthrough? Are you allowing anything to stop you from seeking your life-changing experience with Jesus? Do you feel like she did? Forgotten, abandoned, neglected, overlooked, unheard, unloved? When we further examine this woman's life, we can see how much pain she was in over these 12 years. And I'm sure that there are persons who are suffering in their situations, but God is so able to heal and to restore. But for this woman, she suffered 12 years. And ladies, could you imagine bleeding for 12 years? That's 144 months. Some of us can barely make it through 5 to 7 days. And some women have 2 periods a month, which is very draining for them. So can you imagine 12 years of all this pain? So to some degree, we can relate to what she would have been going through. And as you go through your process, I want you to stand faithful to God. God is not defined by time or space. There's no telling when he would bring into fruition your breakthrough. But what he requires of us is to trust him. What if when she heard of Jesus, she decided, well, this is another avenue. I'm so tired. I can't take another possible healing. I can't take another possibility that maybe this time it would work. But allow God to take you through the process that is difficult sometimes, but it requires us to trust him. She suffered at the hand of many doctors and she spent all that she had. Was she homeless? Probably. She lived in isolation. She was tired of taking every kind of medication, everything that was said to her, try this, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? And sometimes we ourselves, we get tired of trying different things and we become frustrated. But what I want you to understand is that in the midst of your circumstance, doctors can give you one diagnosis, but when it comes to God, he has the final say. Remember in Psalms 139, even before you were born, he created you, he molded you, he made sure that everything was in place. And he knows the length of your days. There's nothing that would happen to you that he is not fully aware of. Trust him in every circumstance. Her menstrual bleeding made her ritually unclean, according to Leviticus 15:25 to 27. She was conscious of the fact that if I touch Jesus, or if I touch anyone else in this crowd, they too can be seen as unclean according to Jewish law. She really should not have been where she was at that time. But for her, in order for her to get the healing that she needed, she risked everything to be at that place, at that time, when Jesus was walking that way. She was determined to get her healing. Do not allow anything or anybody to stop you from receiving your healing from God or receiving your breakthrough. Sometimes people would say, trust God for what? He hasn't done A, B, C, or D. But the reality is, our life is more than just what happens here on earth. It is what happens in eternity. So if God can keep us here on earth and sustain us, even in the midst of our suffering, it means that he has so much more in store for us in eternity. He says to his disciples, I am going to prepare a place for you. And when I go to prepare that place, I would come again and I would receive you unto myself. That is a promise that we have. And no one can take that from you. But if you miss your opportunity to have a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ, you miss the opportunity for the gift of eternal life. She wasn't willing to take that chance. She was willing to risk everything because she's tried everything before, but she heard about this Jesus. She was willing to risk everything in order to get her healing. She was excluded from social contact. Because she was seen as unclean, she couldn't be seen in public. She couldn't be out in public. She was really hoping that by touching the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be healed and no one would notice. But Jesus purposefully asks, who touched me? Because he felt power come out of himself. Do you think that Jesus was unaware of who touched him? That's highly unlikely. But Jesus is always trying to teach us something with everything that happens to us and everything that happens in our lives. So he purposely asks, who touched me? And his disciple responded, but how do you mean who touched you? You're in a crowd. People are pressing against you. There's always somebody there. Somebody's pressing against you. So what do you mean by who touched you? Again, Jesus questioned and he wanted to know who it was. And his questioning made the woman come out of hiding and it forced her to tell him what she did and why. Your encounter with Jesus cannot be hidden. It's because of your testimony that you can encourage somebody else when you tell them what Jesus did for you. It frees you from bondage. John 8:36 says, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. When society says or when society excludes you, Jesus will embrace you. She was living a very lonely life. I can only imagine how she would have felt. Do you remember during COVID when we were social distancing and we couldn't hug? We couldn't leave our house. If we go to the supermarket, we had to get in line and we had to have enough space between you and the other person. And for me, this was really very difficult because I'm a hugger by nature and I felt like a fish out of water. And even when I went to church, I still hugged. Once the person was open to being hugged, I opened my arms and I hugged them because that's how we were created. And it felt unnatural to me not to be able to embrace each other. So there are many people who were fearful. And I think that was the aim of the enemy, to create fear. And you would have had a taste of what she would have felt during the COVID period. And that was what, 2 to 3 years. Can you imagine going through that for 12 years? I think I would lose my mind. Going through that for 12 years, being isolated, being away from family, not being a part of society. When my dad was sick, he stopped talking. And I can remember just giving him a big hug. And he would look at me and he would smile from ear to ear. So that human contact makes a tremendous difference in our lives. So to eliminate that would have been extremely difficult for her. And for 12 years to be isolated, she was really at the point of desperation. And God sees and he knows and he understands when we get to that point. She heard about Jesus. Wow, that's a powerful statement. Remember when I began, I told you to remember that statement. She heard about Jesus. What she heard about Jesus transformed her life. What have you heard about Jesus? Did you allow it just to be knowledge, or did it propel you to go further and to seek after him? It's not enough just to hear about Jesus. It is what happens after you've heard about Jesus that the change will occur. What is your next step, or what would have been your next step after you would have heard about Jesus? So for her, the Bible says she heard about Jesus. What could she have heard at that point in time? She heard that he healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He cast out demons. He thought with authority. He preached a message of love, forgiveness, repentance, and salvation. When you are desperate, the slightest glimmer gives hope. Mark 5:33 says, "Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering.'" She's no longer identified as the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus referred to her as a daughter. So when you have an encounter with Jesus, you're no longer a name. You're no longer a label. You are now sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are sons and daughters of the King. So you are elevated to a different level. You're not a nobody. You are some person for whom Jesus Christ died for on the cross, for whom he gave his life for, to ensure that you can be given the gift of salvation. Our suffering isn't just a physical suffering, but there's a spiritual aspect to it as well. Because when we decide that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean that everything is going to go well. Everything is going to go smooth. Yes, we wish that it would sometimes. And sometimes we say, okay, Jesus, just give me a break. Just hold back some of the suffering a little bit and give me a chance to catch myself. But it says to us, yes, he promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He promised to heal. He promised to strengthen. He promises to restore. But remember, throughout Jesus' ministry, he didn't heal everybody. So if he doesn't heal, he'll take you through the process. Remember that word that we do not like, the process. He is going to take you through the process. But your transformation that comes through Jesus Christ, it's not just for now, but it is for eternity. That's why he died on a cross for our sins. This daughter's encounter with Jesus changed her life and gave her freedom from sickness, freedom from sin, and the gift of eternal life. So no longer did she felt forgotten, abandoned, neglected, overlooked, unheard, or unloved. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is his wish that none should perish, but all should come to repentance." I'm going to end as I began. Your perspective of your life-changing experience defines how you see God. If you allow the challenges of life to make you bitter and angry, you can end up blaming God because you feel forgotten, abandoned, neglected, overlooked, unheard, and unloved. And when you do this, you prolong your process. You prolong the process that you are going through. So that she spent 12 years with the issue of blood. Had she not decided to step out in faith, had she not decided to push through the crowd and reach out and touch Jesus, no matter the consequence, she may have spent another 12 years suffering because of it. Let nothing hinder you from receiving your blessing from God. She suffered 12 years or 144 months until she heard about Jesus. She had an encounter that transformed her life because she exercised desperate faith. Whatever your life experience is, Jesus is waiting to have an encounter with you and to give you the gift of eternal life. And this is why he died on the cross. Romans 8:28 says, God would work all things for our good. Psalms 139, 13 to 18 reminds us of how important and how special we are to God, because even from our inception, he was there. He ordered our steps. He's numbered our days. He knows everything about us. Nothing is hidden. He's not caught unaware of anything. Change your perspective. Your hope is in Jesus Christ. I just want to pray with you right now as we end the program. Father, Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your favor. I thank you, Lord God, that you are God who transforms and saves and redeems. I thank you, Lord God, that you are God who does not abandon us. You're not a God who neglects us. You're not a God who overlooks us. You're not a God who doesn't love us, because your word says that it is because of this love that you had for us, even before we were saved, even before we were even thought about in our mother's womb, you died on a cross for our sins. And you could have said to your father, "No, this is too much for me to bear. I don't need to do this. They spat on me. They placed thorns on my head. They pierced my side. But all I did for them was to love them. But look how I was treated in the end." You could have said all that. You could have called 10,000 angels and you could have destroyed everybody and start over fresh. But because of your love for us, and I pray, God, that we would understand what that really means. But we've heard it so many times over and over and over again. But Father, I pray that this morning, that as your word goes forth, we would understand what this love really means, what your death on Calvary really meant for us. God, and I thank you for the encounters that you would have for those unsafe persons who may be hearing your word this morning. I pray, God, that they would step out in faith, believing that even if I just believe what I heard, he saves, he forgives, he loves me. He would always be there for me. He protects me. He watches over me. He knows my end from my beginning. Father, I pray that they will begin to grasp your word and your promises and to hold to those things and to trust you and to know that you are working all things for our good. Father, Lord God, I just want to thank you this morning. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will just take control of every individual who would be listening this morning. I pray that their hearts would have been blessed. Not just blessed, but I pray that they would be moved to action to seek after you, Father. And I pray, God, that you would open up doors and avenues where they can find the answers that they would be seeking for. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit, Lord God, would wake us up as a church as we, Lord God, step out of the four walls and we minister to the unsaved who needs to hear about your transforming love, about why you died and how you can transform our lives. So Father, Lord God, I just want to thank you, Father. I pray that your Holy Spirit would comfort and mend each broken heart, Lord God, of every individual who will be hearing your word this morning. God, life has a way of chiseling away at our heart. Every time we are faced with challenges, circumstances we do not understand and we can't control. But God, I pray this morning that you would heal every heart in the name of Jesus. Restore and strengthen, Lord God, and you would draw these individuals to yourself, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Before I leave, I have one announcement, and this is coming from the Church of the Nazarene Barbados Women's Ministry. And they're presenting to you the grieving process, dealing with the loss of a loved one. The facilitators are Miss Susan Trotman, Miss Kathy Ann Gill, and Dr. Errol Bolden. And this would be done on June the 9th at 5:30 p.m.
You may feel down and feel like God has somehow forgotten that you are faced with circumstances that you can't get through. Right now it seems that there's no way out, you're going under. God's proven time and time again, he'll take care of you.